We have Michael McBee with us. Michael is an expert on our electric grid, which is interesting with the conversation we're having tonight with Colonel John Mills. It's MichaelMabee.com, Michael, then MABEE.info. It's Grid Security Now. He's an author and an expert on our power grid, and I thought it was time to bring him back in. Michael, welcome back to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a great, great honor to be here.
Well, we need to get you on more often, but I thought about you today, and I thought I've got to get him on. I want to get your response. I don't know how much you got to hear from Colonel John Mills. I know you also have a military background as well. Are you aware of Colonel John Mills there I just had with me?
I am, but I didn't get a chance to listen to the segment before I came on.
Okay, that's all right. We were talking about the new way of warfare. We were talking about China, Russia, Ukraine. But we were talking about Vostok 18 and how before they carried out Vostok 18, Russia and China practicing, you know, with kinetic warfare, a nuclear strike on NATO, on America. Dr. Peter Vincent Price said, hey, before they did that, they practiced the new way of warfare, which is cyber hacking. And he talked about Operation Dragonfly and hacking on our power grid. I'm wondering what your thoughts are tonight, Michael, when it comes to some of the weird things that have been going on in our country and things that are yet maybe to unfold. We've had attacks on our power substations on the East Coast, the West Coast. We know back in April or around that of 2013, the power substations in Southern California were shot. The head of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC, thought maybe it was a special forces team of from somewhere. That's why he brought in some Navy SEAL guys to look at it. And sure enough, they said, this looks like special forces that did this. So who was warning us? Dr. Peter Price said maybe Iran, because of us fooling around with their centrifuges and stuff with the Stuxnet virus on thumb drives we sent into the Middle East. Now we have the shoot up of some power substations on the East Coast, the West Coast. That's interesting. Now we have this week a halting of the New York Stock Exchange for a while. Not sure what's going on there. We have the grounding of flights with the FAA. That's odd. We have Bank of America report, you know, and customers complaining that they're missing money from their accounts. And all of this is happening right now when we have all this tension going on with Russia and China. I wonder what your thoughts are, Michael, in regards to not only grid security, but critical infrastructure security. Do you think all of these things happening now are is a coincidence, or do you believe, as any special forces or military planner knows, you go for your enemy's infrastructure? What do you think is going on here?
Well, first of all, we know that going for the critical infrastructures of the U.S. is in the war plans of China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea, just to name a few of the people that don't like us out there. We've seen the Russians actually with mostly kinetic strikes going after the Ukraine power grid specifically. But we want to remember that in 2015 and 2016, the Russians took down the Ukraine electric grid via cyber attacks. So we've known for at least two decades that the Russians and the Chinese have been inside the U.S. electric grid through cyber reconnaissance and probes. As a matter of fact, you know, last year, Secretary of Energy Jennifer Granholm acknowledged that foreign adversaries have the capability of taking down the U.S. electric grid through a cyber attack. So, cyber attack is only one of multiple threat vectors that threaten the U.S. critical infrastructures, but particularly the electric grid. And the reason that, you know, the electric grid has been my primary focus is because all of the other 16 critical infrastructures in the U.S. depend on the electric grid. So the electric grid is literally the Achilles heel of the United States. If somebody unplugs the electric grid, all of our critical infrastructures fail. We saw an example of that in the Texas blackout in February of 2021, where we had millions of Texans on boil water orders due to the collapse of the water infrastructure when the grid went down. We saw the grocery store shelves emptied. We saw gas stations with no gas in Texas because the transportation infrastructure had been impacted. But most importantly, we saw 250 people at least perish as a result of that blackout, mainly dying of hypothermia, carbon monoxide poisoning, and failure of home medical equipment, all which are directly attributable to the loss of the electric grid. We've also seen catastrophic loss of human life in, for example, Hurricane Maria, where, you know, Puerto Rico's electric grid was taken out for a long period of time, and people went without access to potable water for months. They went without access to electricity for months. And as a result of that, we'll never know how many people for sure died as a result of the loss of the electric grid in Hurricane Maria, but the latest estimates were between 3,000 to 4,000 people died as a result of the power being out in Hurricane Maria. So of all of our critical infrastructures, the electric grid is the one that worries me the most, because all the other ones depend on it. And the types of threats that can cause a catastrophic power outage and even a nationwide power outage and a long-term power outage are, you know, cyber attacks. And you know, we've heard a lot about those. We had the Colonial Pipeline hack where, you know, a pipeline was taken out by a cyber attack in the U.S., and, you know, that doesn't bode well for the electric utility industry, where there are over 3,000 different companies, both public and private sector, involved in the generation, transmission, and distribution of electric power. That's 3,000 barn doors to guard. And there is literally no government agency that has the authority to order the electric grid to do anything to protect itself from any of these known hazards, whether we're talking cyber attacks, physical attacks, as we've seen recently, both in North Carolina and the Pacific Northwest and Nevada, electromagnetic pulse attacks. I heard you know, your previous guest talking about that, geomagnetic disturbance or solar flares, which are another great threat to the electric grid that, you know, many people don't really think about too often. But if we had a major solar flare that hit the earth today, our electric grid is completely unprotected from that. And then we've also got extreme weather, which we've seen every year. You know, the Texas blackout, you know, was caused by a polar vortex, which we saw coming a week ahead of time, but, you know, the grid still collapsed once it got here.
Well, and so let's talk about that, by the way. This Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, we were getting texts from the power company. Tennessee Valley Authority was saying, hey, we're going to have rolling blackouts. It's cold. You guys are at home. You're cranking up the heat. And I'm sorry, we're going to rolling blackouts. We've instituted them. I'm like, this is America, for Pete's sake. Are you kidding me? And on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, thankfully it didn't happen to me, but people I know right around me were having their power taken down for an hour, 30 minutes to an hour or more, and then it would come back up as they did these rolling controlled blackouts. Why is this now occurring? Is it because we've gone to too much green energy? What is the deal here?
Well, I'm right there with you, because on December 28th, my power went out in Fort Worth, Texas. And this, of course, is after Governor Abbott said that the Texas electric grid was fixed, which apparently was. Our power went out as well. So, you know, I've been tracking electric disturbance events for several years. And when there's a power outage or a disturbance event to the electric grid, the companies are required to report these to the Department of Energy. So I track this information. And what I found, I'll just give you some examples. Since 2010, there have been 919 physical attacks against the electric grid, which that's astounding to most people. You know, most people don't realize that this happens all the time. So we've just recently seen in the media, just since December of 2022, that, you know, we had multiple attacks in North Carolina causing a blackout of 40,000 people. We had some attacks in the Pacific Northwest. They actually arrested a couple of guys on some of the attacks in the Pacific Northwest, and they turned out to just be stupid criminals. They thought that they would rob a store, and so they'd cause a blackout to make robbing the store easier, and they ended up getting caught. So far, they have not caught the ones who perpetrated a coordinated attack against two substations in North Carolina, and they never caught the attacker in Metcalf, California, from that, you know, one of the most spectacular attacks against the electric grid.
That was, I think, 2013, and they did it in like 19 minutes, cut the 911 cable, knew how to avoid the cameras, and had pre-established rock piles to know where to stand at night and shoot to take down the coolant system.
Yeah, it was a very well planned and coordinated attack. To this day, we don't know who did it. The FBI has never been able to figure it out. But when you look at, and you know, you were talking about the former FERC chairman, John Wellinghoff, who went out there with some special operators and you know, came to the conclusion that this was a group of people who knew what they were doing. You know, went in, cut the alarm cables, exited, and from pre-established firing positions, knew exactly what to do to take that entire substation offline and to disappear before the police arrived. You know, we've been aware of the threat of physical attacks for a long time. Like I said, we've had almost 1,000 physical attacks against the grid since 2010, but we can even trace that back. The first federal report I've been able to find about this is a report from GAO in 1981. So over 40 years ago, talking about, the physical security of the electric grid and the catastrophic effect that a coordinated physical attack against the grid would have. So that's 40 years ago. And yet to this day, there is no physical security standard that applies to the entire electric grid. The one physical security standard that does exist only applies to the transmission system and only was written by the utilities themselves. The government didn't write the standard. So the utilities wrote their own standard and they exempted almost all of their facilities from the standard. So the one standard that does exist applies to very few facilities in the electric grid. And as we heard from the former chairman of FERC, John Wellinghoff, you'd only need to take out a small number of substations in the United States to cause a nationwide cascading blackout. That is really scary, and it needs to be fixed.
So are you shocked that we haven't already seen our grid, or at least one of the three grids, go down?
I am surprised that we have not had a long-term nationwide blackout, given all of the vulnerabilities to the grid. But what, you know, I really hope we're able to do in this country is before that happens. So in the United States, a lot of times Congress doesn't tend to react until something horrible happens, right? You know, some of our environmental laws came about as a result of major environmental disasters. Some of our aviation laws came about as a result of major aviation disasters. I sure hope that we can fix the vulnerabilities to the electric grid before millions of Americans die, because that's just not a good way to go about it.
And you say millions die. How many millions would die, and in what time frame? I know that Dr. Pry was quoting a very scholarly paper that showed that if the grid was down for a year, 90% of Americans would be dead within that year from disease, starvation, and civil unrest. Yeah. But let's say the grid went down for 4 weeks, a month.
Yeah, well, I'll put it this way. In Texas, it went down for 2 days. We had 250 people perish.
So basically 125 people a day die just in that one state.
Yeah, and look at Hurricane Maria, and you know, when the Puerto Rican grid was down for several months, we're talking about 3,000 to 4,000. And what you have to remember about those disasters is the difference is that all of the disasters we've seen in the past, the biggest and the baddest ones you can think of, Hurricane Maria, Hurricane Katrina, they all were in a local or regional area, and we could bring in massive resources from the outside.
I knew you were going to say that. You're able to bring in, you know, Samaritan's Purse, Red Cross, the government, FEMA, all these groups come flying in. Well, who's going to go flying in when it's nationwide?
Well, exactly. You know, if the entire United States is the disaster area, then where's the cavalry coming from?
Yeah.
And the bottom line, the cavalry is not coming. And, you know, communities have to start to think about this. You know, town leaders and county leaders and emergency managers have got to be thinking about, well, what are we going to do if there's a nationwide blackout? Because we can't call the state. We can't call FEMA. The cavalry's not coming. We need to be prepared, you know, to protect our citizens to the best of our ability. Now, my hope is that we can fix this, that now that there's some attention, and, you know, I would like to thank the media for, in the last couple, you know, month and a half, focusing on this problem, which, you know, really has lacked focus for years. And I think it's very, very important that the media brings attention, brings awareness to people, and that people engage their elected officials. You know, whether you voted for them or not, they represent you, and you need to hold them accountable to protect your family. And in terms of how many people could die as a result of a nationwide grid outage, you know, the Congressional EMP Commission, and, you know, you mentioned Dr. Pry, who is the chief of staff of the Congressional EMP Commission, you know, had estimated that a large percentage of the U.S. population could die in a one-year blackout. Well, let's think about that for a minute, because a lot of people are probably thinking, oh, that's crazy. That could never happen. You know, you couldn't have 90% of the U.S. population dying. Okay, well, what about 40%? Or what about 10%? So 10% of 320 million people dies. Is that an acceptable number? Absolutely not. There is no acceptable number, since we know what the risks are, we know what the vulnerabilities are, and we know how to fix them, and yet we have not done it. And the only way this is going to get fixed is if everybody listening to me calls up their elected officials and demands that action be taken to protect the electric grid. It hasn't been done for decades. And people might ask, well, why is that? You know, why haven't we protected the electric grid? Well, I'll give you 1.3 billion reasons why we haven't protected the electric grid. And that's the $1.3 billion in the last decade that the electric utility industry has spent lobbying your federal representatives and senators.
And how much would it take? 1.3 billion? And how much would it take to harden and protect the grid?
Oh, I'd say probably that amount would go a long way. So rather than spend that toward lobbying against grid security, and moreover, it's even more repugnant than you think, because where does that $1.3 billion come from? Our electric bills.
Yep.
So when you pay your electric bill, you are paying an army of lobbyists and attorneys in Washington, D.C., to try to convince the federal government that we don't need any regulation in the electric grid, that, you know, everything is fine. The electric grid companies are going to take care of it themselves. And yet we see that there have been almost 1,000 physical attacks against the electric grid. We see extreme weather causing blackouts. We see fuel supply deficiencies causing blackouts. And, you know, should we be visited, which we will, by a major solar storm, we are going to see a nationwide long-term blackout that we are completely unprepared for. The American people are unprepared for it, and the government is unprepared for it.
And being that we have such a moral and upstanding and virtuous people, thankfully, if the power goes out, we don't have to worry about looting and rioting. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not the case.
Yeah, it is not the case. So we have seen in past disasters, and I give you a couple of examples, you know, Hurricane Katrina, we saw a complete breakdown in law and order. We saw armed gangs in the street. Hurricane Andrew, they had to call out the National Guard to restore order in Florida and some of the southern states. And one of probably the scariest ones that I've studied is the 1977 blackout in New York City.
Oh, yes, that's right. I've watched videos on that.
Yeah. It was a 24-hour blackout. It was caused by a lightning strike up by the Indian Point nuclear reactor in upstate New York. And the reactor did what it was supposed to do and shut itself down, cast New York City into darkness for 24 hours. In that 24 hours, over 1,200 businesses were destroyed. 1,000 fires caused by arsonists. 3,776 people were arrested, 500 police officers injured, and they had to call in the National Guard to restore order in a 24-hour blackout. So no, people don't always behave. You know, we like to think of the good disaster stories, you know, like the Cajun Navy, you know, pulling people off roofs, you know, during Hurricane Harvey. You know, I know as Americans, we like to think the best of ourselves. But that isn't the way the veneer of civilization is very, very thin.
And then you add to it, as you're reporting on your website, which is, again, his website is michaelmabee.info, michaelmabee.info. You're reporting over here, yet you add another one to it. We keep buying U.S. Continues to import large transformers from China. Oh, what could possibly go wrong, Michael?
Well, exactly. And not only transformers, but also millions of inverters, which, you know, you need those for solar and wind, for example, and also the smart meters on the side of our houses. So everything from these large transformers down to the smart meters on the side of our house, we're importing a lot of these, and a lot of these we're importing from China. Millions of inverters we're importing
from China.
And
do we have to worry about them being able to have any chips or programming to turn those things off?
Well, I'll put it this way. Since the Chinese have been hacking the U.S. electric grid for 2 decades, I would worry about it personally. For some reason, it doesn't seem that the industry or the government has been terribly worried about it because they've, you know, been allowed to continue doing it. You know, we're still importing components from the People's Republic of China to install on the electric grid that the Chinese are already hacking. It makes no sense at all, but it's partially because it's a self-regulated industry. The government can't stop companies from doing this. They don't have the authority to order companies not to order stuff from China and install it in the grid. So one of the things that has to change is the federal government has got to step up and put a minimum federal level on the electric grid. Specifically, that all the companies in the electric grid need to certify once a year under criminal and civil penalties that they're taking reasonably prudent steps to protect themselves against these known hazards. That's a fairly simple thing. We've done it in the past in other self-regulated industries, and we need to call on our congressional representatives to turn back the money that they're getting from the electric utility industry and start listening to their constituents.
Wow, absolutely. You'll find more over there at michaelmabee.com. I am saying your last name correctly, right, Michael?
Maybe, just like the question.
Oh, maybe. That's easier. michaelmabee.com. michaelmabee.info, I should say. michaelmabee.info. Michael, I bet you had fun with that name growing up. Maybe.
Yeah, not so much, but...
well, you get...
It's actually a lot more maybes than you would think, which yeah. Kind of surprised me.
Well, maybe there is. I don't know. michaelmabee.info. And we appreciate all you're doing. Now, remember, you can reach out to me anytime, Michael, when you have a story that you need to bring to us. I reached out to you with all that's going on, but I wanted to make sure you know you can always reach out to me if there's a story you need to bring to our audience. You got a platform here.
Yeah.
Thank you, Michael. Michael Mabee, that's mabee.info.com. Another announcement or two, but first, let me take you over here with all this talk. Look, folks, I'm not offering you anything I didn't do myself in 2013, and that is buy enough freeze-dried food for my family for a period of time. I thought 6 months would do. Then as I studied how dangerous things were, I upped mine to 2 years. You do what you want. But again, I was buying this for my family in 2013. We didn't become distributors until 2016. So much of what we offer, we were doing, and then we offer it to you. That's because I rarely ever will offer or promote anything that I don't do myself. I certainly won't promote something I don't believe in, but most of everything that you see us promoting here, we were using it, buying it, before we ever started promoting it. We just found a way to offer a service to our audience and generate revenue to continue producing and pushing out free television, free documentaries, free shows. So here's an opportunity for you to get prepared. Again, I now have enough for my family for around 2 years. You do what you want. But I've warned you many times, if you're on a tight budget, you might need to start now and budget and buy a little bit along the way. Here it is, WVWTVstore.com. Just go there, click on emergency food supplies. All emergency food supplies is what you click on next, and up they pop. Ready Hour Ultimate Breakfast, Ready Hour Mega Protein, Ready Hour Fruit, Veggie, and Snack Mix. You have Ready Hour Gluten-Free, one-year emergency food, four-week emergency food supply. You can get a 72-hour test kit if you'd like to try it. It actually is very good. A three-month emergency food supply, six-month. If you want to do, you know, a 2 years, whatever, that's fine. If you'd like to order online, just go there to WVWTVstore.com. If you would like to order over the phone, you could even call right now. They'll take your order over the phone. Libby is standing by to help you. 901-468-9357. She'll take your order and track it all the way to your door. 901-468-9357. Many of you have dealt with Libby, and she's happy to help you even now. 901-468-9357. 901-468-9357. If you're one of those folks that prefers to order over the phone, otherwise you can order online. WVWTVstore.com. Let me show you something else again, emergency supplies. Click on that, this link right here, emergency supplies. When you click on that, it'll open up, obviously, emergency supplies. Now, I've told you before, we just recently became distributors for Alexa Pure water filtration system. You can filter 250 gallons of water, and then when you need a new filter, we have those you can order as well. Again, if you order the filter or you order the whole thing, it is going to come in a box like this right here. And if you leave it sealed in this, it will last, well, pretty much indefinitely, the manufacturer tells us. So if you want to buy one of these and put it away, maybe you don't want to use it right now. Maybe you're just like, I only want to use it in case there's a crisis. Well, then buy it, order it, and leave it in the box, the filter, leave it in the container, the wrapping you see there in the picture, so that it stays preserved. And it pretty much will stay preserved indefinitely. If you do use it, and then after 200 gallons, you want to get another filter, you can order that from us. If you want to order a couple to have on standby, that's up to you. We also have, of course, the stove to make the fire. We have the pot to boil the water. And we have the water filtration to purify the water, to heat up over the stove, and to mix up your freeze-dried food in the pot. So we pretty much have thought up what you might need in order to survive any kind of crisis. Again, I know you can buy this elsewhere. Thank you for buying it from us. It is a big part of our general operating budget. Now, speaking of what we do here, one of the things we'd like for you to do is also not forget about our foundation, WVWFoundation.com. As you know, we push out free programming. Excuse me one minute. Free programming we push out. If you go right now to WVWTV.com, WVWTV.com, there it is, you will see all kinds of free programs. And they're on demand, and they're free. Well, they're free to you to watch, but they're not free to us. We spend thousands of dollars a month in bandwidth bill. So you can just keep scrolling through and watch all of these free shows. Again, we spend thousands of dollars a month in bandwidth bills so that you can watch free shows. Our WVW Foundation exists for many reasons. One, but ultimately, it is to help people understand the times through the lens of a Christian worldview and know how God would have us to respond. So our foundation is involved in pushing out programming as a ministry for free so that we can cover that bandwidth bill and push it out for free. And things like my free documentary, Brainwashed America Part 1, Brainwashed America Part 2. Don't forget, we also have a Sunday night service here at 8 p.m. Central Times on Sunday night, where we literally open the Bible, look at the issues of the day through the lens of the Bible and how we should respond. If you appreciate that, we appreciate your support of our foundation. Any amount is appreciated. WVWFoundation.com. You'll also find our mailing address there if you prefer to support us through the mail, or use that number to donate over the phone, 901-468-9357. Tomorrow night, Mike Adams, Dr. Andy Woods, and I want to bring you a 15-minute keynote presentation I delivered this weekend for General Flynn and Clay Clark this past weekend in Nashville. We'll do that. Thank you so much for watching. Till next time, I'm Brandon House. Have a great evening. Take care.